This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
The issue of life transcends anybody's petty politics. This goes to the very heart of who we are as a country.
What I see about Governor Romney is that he says, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he's raised from the dead, and, you know, he's my Savior. Well, I see him as being a believer in Christ like me.
There's an Occupy Faith in Boston, there's an Occupy Faith in Oakland, there's an Occupy Faith in Washington, D.C., there's an Occupy Faith in Chicago. And there are more and more of these groups that are primarily faith leaders.
When you're talking about a fully devoted Christ follower, where's the focus? The focus is not on Christ, the focus is on self. And when the focus is on self, it's always wrong.
Homeschool families love Issues, etc. We have issues.
It is the tension that Christians live with. And if you don't live with this tension, there is something wrong. Jesus says we are in the world, but not of the world. What does that really mean? Does it mean secluding ourselves from the culture? Does it mean immersing ourselves in the culture? Or is there some other way of answering that question? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon. It's January the 30th. Scott Diekman joins us here for the first few minutes to talk about Christians being in the world, but not of the world. We'll introduce the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app with Daniel Berquist and Michael Patrick O'Connor a little bit later in this hour, and then we'll have our Sunday school lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen talking about Jesus healing a man who's paralyzed in Mark chapter 2. Scott Diekman is a husband and dad, an airline pilot in Puyallup, Washington, and author of an article in a recent edition of Higher Things magazine titled In, Not Of. Scott, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Good to be here.
You say that Christians living in but not of the world is a little bit like trying to balance both sides of a teeter-totter. What do you mean?
Well, Christ calls us to be in the world, Todd. He prays for us to his Heavenly Father not to take us out of the world, but to protect us from the evil one. We are called through our vocations to serve our fellow man in the world, while at the same time not being of the world. If you read, say, in 1 John 2, it gives us a pretty good definition of what the world is. St. John says, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions. So you can see sort of there a summary of the second table of the law, which certainly leads us then into a violation of the first table of the law. So those are things we should avoid while at the same time serving our fellow man.
I think the thing that Christians struggle with the most is that they feel as though being in this world, they all have to be kind of little evangelists, that they can never, to put it in kind of, for lack of a better word, very inaccurate language, Christians can never just be ordinary people. They got to be kind of always on whenever they're in any public setting, this social media, out among friends. They always have to kind of be advertising their Christianity. What's your response?
That's a completely common conception. It's really a perversion of what vocation is all about. In vocation, we are called to serve our neighbor. And often, I think, there's a lot of misconceptions about what the article of faith of vocation is all about. Our neighbor really is whomever God puts near us at that particular time. And certainly, our neighbor, first and foremost, might be our family members. You know, our father, if we're a kid, or our mother, our spouse, our siblings. These are all the people that we are called to serve through our vocations every day. And as such, you know, if you're helping your dad mow the lawn, that's as good a work as if you're going on a trip to the National Youth Gathering. They're all equally important in God's eyes, and we are masks of God serving Him through our vocations in those ordinary means. They don't sound exciting sometimes, but they are every bit as spiritual as some other, you know, thing like you might do in church, like work on the evangelism committee or whatever.
You pilot airplanes. How does it apply to your particular vocation, or at least that aspect of your vocation?
Well, people need to get where they want to go, Todd, and I'm the guy that gets them there. So, you know, it is kind of a privilege to be able to get those people where they need to go, and there's always a demand for that, and I'm glad I'm able to do it.
Someone might say, well, it sounds like what you're saying is we can kind of leave our Christianity at the door, or you're talking about Sunday morning Christianity, but we're just kind of regular Joes working our jobs every other day of the week. Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all. You know, we all have opportunity to share our faith both by our actions, you know, as an example of our faith, but also in our words, what we tell to other people. You know, certainly as you go about your day, you may have opportunity to share the good news about Christ with the guy sitting next to you on the bus or someone walking down the street. Now, that's not to say that we're all called to be evangelists, but at the same time, we shouldn't shun those opportunities when they arise.
You talk about using your teeter-totter analogy, that when we fall off that teeter-totter, the law can do its work on us. What do you mean?
Well, the law there is there to show us our sin, and hopefully we realize that when we don't serve our fellow man, that would be a sin. And each day when we go to bed, we can sit and ask God repent and ask God for forgiveness for all those things that we didn't do, sins of omission as well as sins of commission. And in doing so, we can arise the next day and start all over to again serve our fellow man.
What's the danger of, and I think every Christian will struggle with this at some point, the danger of wishing to escape the world, and usually it's the refuge is taken somehow within the walls or literally or metaphorically of the church. Christians who want to be apart from the world under the auspices of their Christianity in the church.
Yes, that's always a danger. And again, that is not what we're called to do in vocation. It's to go out into the world in our ordinary callings in life. You know, Luther talked a lot about monasticism and walling people off in a monastery somewhere where they essentially escape the world to do what he might have called self-made works, which really are a sin. We are called to do those things which God ordinarily wants us to do, not some higher spiritual calling. And you see this a lot of times now, like, say, a book like The Purpose-Driven Life, which creates two classes of Christians, worldly Christians and world-class Christians. And you don't find that concept in the Bible. There's only one kind of Christian, and that's a forgiven Christian.
What role does our baptism play in this? You say that there's a particular assurance for us in baptism.
It's a huge role, Todd. You know, every day we can remember that we are baptized children of God. When we're baptized, He puts His name on us. That in itself makes us holy. He promises to forgive our sins. So when we remember our baptism, we know that we were baptized into His death. The old Adam is crucified, and the new Adam arises, and through our baptism we can celebrate that we have been forgiven and go about the world joyously without having the curse of the law around our neck.
Does that mean that a person kind of peeking into the cockpit of your airplane will be able to tell that you, Scott, are a Christian pilot by the way you fly the plane as opposed to the guy sitting next to you who may not be a believer?
No, not really, Todd. I mean, you're probably not going to be able to see that. As a matter of fact, I can remember hearing some pastor say at one time he didn't want to put a fish bumper sticker on his car for fear of his behavior. So you can't often walk down the street and recognize the Christian from the non-Christian, and that's all right. We aren't called to walk around with a soapbox that we can stand on the street corner, necessarily.
Somebody says, look, Scott, you have opportunity, at least a potential opportunity, if you're piloting passengers around, to contact hundreds of people a day, perhaps thousands a week. You get to shake hands or at least nod at a bunch of people. Shouldn't you be saying a prayer over the intercom system before every flight, or shouldn't you be telling people how much Jesus loves them as you greet them when they leave the plane?
No, you know, then you're wandering off into essentially a confusion of the two kingdoms where, you know, I'm called to fly that airplane to get people there, which is the left-hand kingdom. I'm not called in those circumstances to say a prayer over the PA or be an evangelist. So no, not at all.
Whereas, say, if there was a priest or a pastor as a passenger on one of your flights, it kind of is his job, maybe, even in that circumstance, if someone wants to pray while there's turbulence.
Sure. If you're sitting in the back and you're wearing your collar, I think, you know, if I were back there or some other frightened passenger, that would be a great thing for you to do when serving out your vocation in that sense as pastor.
Scott Diekman is our guest. He's a husband, a dad, an airline pilot in Puyallup, Washington, author of an article in the recent edition of Higher Things magazine titled In, Not Of. We're talking about Christians living in, but not of, the world. This is Issues Etc. Live this Monday afternoon, January the 30th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
How can an understanding of the theology of the cross help in times of pain, suffering, and loss? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is titled The Problem of Suffering, A Father's Hope. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Problem of Suffering by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Problem of Suffering, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Monday afternoon, Scott Diekman is our guest. We're talking about Christians being in the world but not of the world. He's a husband, dad, and airline pilot in Puyallup, Washington, authored an article in a recent edition of Higher Things magazine titled In Not Of. Scott, so here's a situation that you probably find yourself in on a regular basis. You're flying along. You hit turbulence. You've got a couple hundred neighbors sitting back there, if you're flying passengers around. What is your Christian vocation piloting that plane in a moment like that?
Well, my job would be to hopefully find a smooth altitude to begin with and talk to air traffic control, look ahead, see where that smooth air is, if there is any, do the best we can to protect the integrity of the aircraft and the passengers. And, of course, I can say a prayer for all those people in the back.
Finally, you say that this is it's a battle. It's an in versus of in a lot of ways. And sounds like what you're saying is living in the world but not of the world is never really going to be easy for a Christian. Talk about that.
That's true, Todd. You know, it's a battleground, a spiritual battleground, and often our vocation will bring crosses for us to bear. You know, the Lord draws us closer to Him in those crosses. So sometimes we may encounter things in our various vocations that will be a burden for us, and we bear those burdens joyfully in our vocation and do the best we can in those situations. But, you know, it's not always going to be smooth sailing just because you're a Christian.
Scott Diekman is a husband, a dad, an airline pilot in Puyallup, Washington. He's author of the blog Stand Firm and of an article in a recent edition of Higher Things magazine titled In But Not Of. And we will post a link to the Stand Firm blog at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Scott, thanks for your time.
Hey, thanks, Todd. My pleasure.